We'll stay up till the morning comes. 'Cause I'm all in love.
The Voice and the Bye Bye Blackbirds with All in Light from their album We Need the Rain. And we need the Bye Bye Blackbirds, and we've got one of them here right now, Bradley Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's nice to have you here in Sacramento. You're from the Bay Area. You got a nice gig in town tonight. Let's talk about that first. What's the gig? Where at? Who's playing?
The gig is at Old Ironsides, and Desario is playing. And John Conley from Desario actually did the album art for our new record.
Nice.
So that's going to be kind of nice to hang with him. And the opener is a guy, I believe his name is Eric Turner, a local band called Foxtails. He's the front man, so he'll be playing first, and then Desario, and then us, yeah.
Awesome. And that's a venerable old institution, Old Ironsides.
Oh, I love that place.
I think it's been around since Prohibition, which is kind of weird when you think about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's definitely my favorite place in Sacramento to play, so it'll be fun to...
Awesome. Let's give a shout-out to the band. Who's part of the Bye Bye Blackbirds tonight?
Well, this is a very special trip. Our drummer is on tour with his other band right now, so we've got the legendary Gil Ray sitting in on drums for us, and then Aaron and Lenny, as usual, and then Mr. Casey Bowman will be rejoining us tonight to add his auxiliary singing and playing.
And he adds a lot to the show. I'm a big fan of his. He was playing cowbell and running the smoke machine for you guys in Berkeley last time.
He was, yeah. We're probably not bringing the smoke machine this time, but he will definitely entertain one way or another.
I definitely know that for sure. So this album, the album We Need the Rain, wonderful album. How's it been received?
Really, really well. It's been a real thrill to get great feedback and great reviews, and selling pretty well. And we just got back from a tour. We were up in the Northwest, and people were really psyched about it. And it's been great. It's been pretty encouraging.
I'm glad. And the title, I cannot believe you named the album that, considering what's happened around here. We Need the Rain. Yes, we do, folks. So why did you name it that?
Well, when I moved to California, that was a phrase I started hearing, because it would be dry most of the year, and then it would start raining, and everyone would complain about the rain, but someone would say, oh, well, we need the rain. And I just loved that phrase. It really, it seemed like a good way to sort of justify something bad that's going on, or making light of a situation that's annoying. So, it's not a popular phrase in the Pacific Northwest, we've discovered. But, and it just turned out that we put it out in the middle of a horrible drought. So the timing was good.
We just had a little light blink in here. That was kind of exciting. But we're still on the air. I think we're on the air. Our lights are blinking here, but... That's the power of the Bye Bye Blackbirds, I guess.
We need the light.
I think we're okay. Yeah, no, I don't
think it's
be
functioning. Yeah.
Well,
I didn't touch anything. I swear.
Memorable thing number one in Sacramento. Very, very cool indeed. We are in the air, aren't we? So, what was the production process for the album like? How'd that all go?
It took a long time, but it went really smoothly. I mean, we did most of the basic stuff with our friend Paul Tyler.
Okay.
And he. He's a buddy of ours down in the Bay Area. He's a great engineer, great producer. And there were innumerable delays to the process, but when we were in the studio and the lights were on, it was really smooth. We didn't do a lot of takes. A lot of stuff was done live. So it was a pretty easy record to make from that perspective. Everything else was difficult, but the actual recording was smooth.
Wow. I mean, it seems like a real labor of love. This album, it sounds so good. Everything flows really nicely. It's one of the better albums I heard all last year.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. And then you guys headlined our last Twirl Radio Presents gig, which
was actually
us piggybacking onto your CD release party. So thanks very much for letting us play with you. But that was an incredible show. That was so well received.
Yeah, that was a real blast. We've had good luck at the Plow just sort of making shows into events, where it feels like a party and people are really invested in it. And that was one of those nights for sure. It's a great place to have a CD release for that reason.
And that was the first time I'd ever been there. Just a nice vibe. It's kind of an Irish pub thing, but floor was packed. I mean, there were over 120 people paid and probably more than that there. So nice to see that.
Yeah, it was really exciting. Definitely kicked things off as far as the record is concerned in a really exciting fashion. So we've tried to build on that momentum ever since, I think.
Yeah, and so you've just come back from touring the Northwest, your stomping grounds, your original stomping grounds. What's next in terms of touring?
That's a good question. We'll probably do some California stuff later. There's a band up there that we played with called Blue Skies for Black Hearts.
Ah.
And they come down to California fairly often, so we may do another little road trip down here. We have a kind of a big show in San Francisco coming up in June. We're playing with the Rubenews, of all people, at the Great American Music Hall, which is pretty exciting. So that's sort of our next focus. After that, who knows? We may go back up to the Northwest. That was a real blast, and people really liked it. So
nice.
Yeah, we'll see.
And that'll be a pretty big gig. Isn't that about a 1,500 seat auditorium?
I have no idea, but it's the biggest place we've ever played. We played there once, 9 years ago or 8 years ago or something, but it's by far the biggest place we've played, and it's pretty awesome. I'm excited to play there.
And I found out some local claim to fame, Tommy Dunbar of the Rubenews, is from right here in Sacramento.
He is indeed here.
I think he lives about 5 minutes from here, and we're going to get him on the show in advance of that show. So we'll definitely we'll talk about our mutual friends, the Bye Bye Blackbirds, for sure.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, he's a sweetheart, too, so it'll be a great visit, I'm sure.
Yeah, nice man. How long have you been in music, actually putting out music for the world to hear?
Forever. There was a band prior to this called Bell da Gama, and we put out a CD in like 2001.
Okay.
And I also played on a record by a guy named Yuji Oniki that year. So that was kind of the beginning of actual like things being put out into the world, as opposed to just giving tapes to friends or something like that. So yeah, since 2001.
Okay.
I've been at it.
And you've seen the world change a couple times. I mean, we've had this whole digital revolution one or two times since 2001.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's sort of one track in which things have changed wildly and radically, and then there's another track where things are about the same as they always have been. And you kind of have to balance those two out. It's a lot easier for people to make records. It's a lot easier for people to release their own records. That has good and bad aspects to it. We've certainly taken advantage of it as a band that's never been big enough to be a real label band or anything. But yeah, to a certain extent, you pay attention, you try to learn from it, and then you also just kind of keep your head down and just keep working and trust that it'll sort itself out somehow and not get too hung up on what's going on today that was different than yesterday.
Yeah, because when it boils down to it, I mean, I can now afford the same tools you have, but I'm not a musician, so these tools still need to be in the right hands. You need somebody who's talented and artistic to make good music, I think.
Well, and some of the same luck applies. You know, it was always someone would make a great record, and even if it was on a label, no one would hear it, and so it would never happen. And someone else who wasn't so good would get huge, and you're always wondering why. Well, it's the same thing now. It's a lot of noise that you have to cut through, and you're just trying to find ears and there's a lot of different ways you can do that, but to a certain extent, you just got to focus on trying to be good and then cross your fingers.
Yeah. And then the fans, the audience will follow. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So I'm chatting with Bradley Scott of the Bye Bye Blackbirds. You are holding like just this absolutely amazingly sweet looking Fender guitar.
It's a very pretty guitar indeed. Yeah.
Oh, can you do that violin thing? You made this really cool violin sound.
Okay, I'll try. I don't know if that's coming through.
Yeah. There's no violins. No violins were harmed in the making of that sound.
Guitars were harmed.
Do you ever do that at a show?
No, that would require a lot of attention and me knowing what notes I'm playing. No, that's just a party trick, I think, at this point. Maybe that's something that Lenny could do musically, but for me it's just a noise that I can conjure up.
Well, Toro Radio is one big party, so let's just say it went over well really here.
Oh, good.
So, hey, do you want to play us a song since you're all plugged in and everything?
I would love to, yeah. So I have my lovely wife, Gina, with me.
And hey, Gina.
I was thinking it would just be fun to try to play a song that we play around the house.
Cool.
Instead of being a little too serious about it. So this is actually a Chris Stamey song, and Chris Stamey's a hero of mine, one of my favorite songwriters, and this is one of Gina's favorites of his, and so we play this one a lot.
Nice.
The song is called 14 Shades of Green. Here's where we get off. We lived right down the street. In our What are we waiting? What are we waiting? What are we waiting for?
Nice. Very nicely done. You know, I haven't heard that song in years. Did not realize it was a Chris Stamey tune. What a great song.
Yeah, yeah. He's just one of the masters. And that's definitely a favorite of ours.
Yeah, him and Peter Holsapple. Wow, you know. And Gina, you are the secret weapon. Nice vocals on that.
Yeah, I keep telling her that.
Do you ever record with Bradley or with anybody?
I am actually on the record. One song.
Yeah, she actually sings on a song called Secret Ride on the record.
Okay.
Took a lot of cajoling, but I managed to get her to sing a little harmony with me.
I don't usually sing in front of people.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not people. I'm a radio guy, so don't worry about me. Nicely done, you two. I really appreciate that. Thanks so much. Awesome. So let's talk about musical influences. Who has influenced your music over the years?
Boy, you know, that's kind of every day you could ask me and I'll come up with another different 12 people.
Okay, March 22nd, 2014.
Yeah, March 22nd, 2014. when I was a kid, my dad played guitar and sang. And he never wrote and he never really played professionally or anything, but he was really into early 70s singer-songwriter stuff. He was really into Jim Croce and John Denver and Gordon Lightfoot and stuff like that. So I grew up with a lot of that. You know, and so as far as melody and just loving lyrics and melodies and song structures, you know, there's that. But once I started getting serious about playing music, it's kind of around fourth, fifth, sixth grade when I started to really think about doing my own thing. I got into the Velvet Underground and I got into Neil Young, and REM was a big deal, and Robin Hitchcock. So 80s college radio was a real big deal to me. The Smiths, you know, big. Paul Westerberg, you know, once I got into the Replacements of Paul Westerberg, that was another big thing. So all that stuff kind of, you know, started to add up over the years, and people, you know, added. And then 60s stuff, too. I'm a big Kinks fan and Beach Boys and Birds and stuff like that, too. So it just seems like there was constant stream of new things being added to the mix, and somehow it all sorts itself out.
Yeah, I can hear a lot of that with the melodies and the witty songwriting. Wow, the 80s were the time to be listening to college radio. That's absolutely the fact right there.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. I mean, I think a lot of people think of the 60s as being sort of the high mark of songwriting in pop, guitar pop music. But to me, the 80s kind of are just, you've got the same level of musicianship and melody and all that stuff, but lyrically, you know, the fact that you've got like guys like Scott Miller and Paul Westerberg and Patti McClune and Green Gartside, I mean, just these unbelievable lyricists in the 80s. And so as a lyric guy, you know, the 80s are sort of my thing. Graham Downs from the Verlaines, another one.
The Verlaines. Now, it's interesting because I listened to your album, We Need the Rain, and so I hear a lot of that. I hear the pop, the power pop, the singer-songwriter stuff. I hear Americana and touches of country in there, too. Is that right?
I'm a big country fan. And, you know, I think being a Neil Young fan, too, you know, there's a lot of that, too. There's a lot of rootsiness in it. And I love blues. I love country. I love gospel. I listen to a lot of that stuff. And, again, you know, my dad being into that kind of school of singer-songwriter stuff, I think – I grew up, you know, if you like John Denver, there's country there. If you like Jim Croce, there's country and blues and stuff in that, too. So, you know, all of that stuff is always there. A big Everly Brothers fan, too, from youth, too. So that's another thing where there's a lot of country, a lot of roots stuff in it. So
I can see that. And
I like that combination.
Yeah, and you cross over seamlessly on the album. I mean, absolutely just, it doesn't sound like two different genres are fighting it out for airtime. It just sounds like they're blending seamlessly.
Oh, good, because they're definitely fighting out in my head. But as long as there's a truce when it comes out into the real world. You know,
absolutely, for sure. So how can my listeners find out more about you, the Bye Bye Blackbirds, purchase some of your music?
Byebyeblackbirds.com will, you know, be the place to go. Facebook is great because that's, you know, we're just constantly updating photos and clips from shows and news and stuff like that. So that's the place to go. Just go to byebyeblackbirds.com and that'll show you where you can buy the record. And you can get it on iTunes and Amazon and stuff like that too, I'm sure. So,
but yeah. I always say buy directly from the artist if you can. That's the way to go.
Yeah, we're selling the record through Bandcamp, and so that's turned out to be a pretty good platform for us in terms of people all over the world being able to get it really easily and us being able to get it to them quickly.
And I assume you've got a trunk full to sell at the show tonight?
Yeah, so, yeah, believe it or not, we actually brought a whole bunch of records for people to come down and
awesome.
Purchase. So.
Awesome. By the way, I am showing my Bye Bye Blackbirds Pride wearing my badge
that.
Tonight.
Yeah.
And wearing my Oakland A's cap, I'm showing my East Bay Pride tonight here.
Yeah, well done.
Now, if you were in San Francisco, I have to get out my Giants cap. If you were somewhere else, I have to get the other cap. But, you know, I'm just trying to be appropriate for the occasion here.
You're blending right in. Making us feel at home.
Trying to blend right in, yes. Yes, indeed. So, any new recording projects coming up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got a bunch of new stuff, and so talk has begun about starting to get it on tape. You know, and we actually have a single coming out this year with Dr. Frank from Mr. T Experience.
Oh, yeah.
And our bass player used to play with Mr. T Experience years ago, and we had this idea, and I don't know how it came up, but we had this idea of, hey, let's play together, because Dr. Frank plays acoustic primarily these days, and so he took two songs of his that had never had full band arrangements before, and we came up with arrangements for them, and we went in the studio, and we knocked it out, and it turned out really great.
Oh,
so
nice.
Hopefully sometime this year that'll... And I, oh yeah, Gina's pointing out to me that I actually played drums on that, which
oh,
is a
good.
Nice treat for me. I let Frank do all the hard work, and I have to sit behind the drum kit for a bit. But
now, do you play everything? Can you play bass, guitar, drums, everything?
I am the worst bass player of all time, but I can do... Gina thinks she's worse than I am, but I have a feeling Gina's probably a better bass player.
I would love to bring two bass in here and just hear what the two worst bass players in the world sound like. And
we could
I'm...
do that right now. It's a shame we don't have a bass, because we could really have a terrible bass off.
And you know, that would be fun. We should do that next time you guys are in Sacramento, just for kicks.
That's an awful idea, I think.
Let's do it.
I think we should do it, yeah.
Okay. And, no, you know, I've liked some posts I've seen from our mutual friends, Agony Ants. I think they posted something when your record came out, something like, please buy the Bye Bye Blackbirds album. They're our arch rivals. We want you to be able to help us check up on what they're doing. It was something like that.
Yeah,
they're arch rivals.
They're always trying to start stuff. You know, especially that Crabtree guy.
Yeah.
He's always really, he's just sort of a pain in my side all the time. So, yeah, you know, we'll be nice to them once in a while if there's something we can get out of it. But you know, most of the time we're really just trying to crush them under our boots.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a standoff, though. You know, it's just... It's kind of a cold war going on.
Yeah, it's bitter.
Yeah.
It's always simmering.
Bradley, it's been a pleasure having you on. I've got just one more question. You know, I was going to give you only softball questions. I'm going to go for the big controversial one.
Oh, great.
Yeah, tap into your inner soul.
Is it about the Crimea?
Close.
Okay.
What's your favorite food?
Oh, wow. Man, that really is the hardest question I've been asked in a long time.
And Gina, you're next, so you better prepare your answer.
Oh, I know what Gina's answer is. Gina likes Ethiopian food.
You're right.
Oh, Queen of Sheba's on Broadway here in Sacramento. Broadway in, I think, 17th or 18th.
Good to know. Yeah. Yeah, we're big Ethiopian food fans. That's sort of a favorite of ours. So I'm going to go with Ethiopian food, too. I think that's a safe answer.
And it's like a 5-10 minute drive from here. If you guys need some Ethiopian food before your show, just a tip there.
We might be low.
Bradley, thank you so much for hanging out with me. Gina, it's been a pleasure to meet you and chat with you guys.
Oh yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
What song should we hear off the album before we head off?
Well, maybe we should hear "Secret Ride" since it's got a little Gina cameo on the chorus there. So
that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe track 6. Nope.
7,
track
I think.
Track 7.
Yeah. We'll maximize Gina's radio time here.
All right. Here we go. Here's the Bye Bye Blackbirds and "Secret Ride" on Twirl. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.